The Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. We hear today in these readings of the power of the Word of God to completely change our life if we will let it. And yet the Lord also talks to us of some obstacles. But let's spend just a few more minutes, first of all, pondering the power of the Word of God. See, is the Word of God sharper than any two-edged sword in your life? Does it, if you read it reflectively, does it not go to your very heart, to the very core of who you are, and challenge the way you think, and yet also confirm you and give you a certainty and a clarity that helps you to see things the way you've never seen them before? Oh, if you and I will meditatively pray and ponder the Word of God, we will never go away from it unchanged. And I will tell you that in my life, I'm a great witness to this. I have this embarrassment of riches that you let me preach every day. You give me extended time to study the Word of God. I don't have to kind of go out and do other works to earn money or things. You take good care of me and you say, now study that Word, Father, and pray for us. So it's an embarrassment of riches, but I will say that there is absolutely no one in this church who is incapable of preaching a sermon every day to your own soul, to your own heart, to your own mind. And I hope you do it. I have been able to ponder this Word deeply, and I tell you, I'm a changed man. I've seen not just sins put to death, but sinful attitudes. I'm embarrassed to tell you the way I used to think about some things. But I know that year after year, reading the Word of God has utterly transformed my mind, my heart. I have different priorities. I see things differently. I think differently. And so it is that this Word is at work in my life, and I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. A glorious change, and one of the most powerful medicines in my life has been the very Word of God. If God could say, let there be light, and there is light, then maybe He can even do something to me. Even my own stubborn and hard and impenitent heart, the Lord can get in there and begin to go to work. And as I try to just testify to you for a moment, I'm asking you, what has the Word of God done for you? And it isn't just that you read it devotionally at home, and I pray that you do, but also, as you come here and you hear the Word effectively proclaimed by our lectors, by our deacon, by yes, even the likes of me, if God could speak through Balaam's donkey, I guess He can even speak through me. But also the choir so beautifully takes up the great theme of God's Word and memorably puts it in our heart. Has this not changed you over the years? I can only say it has me, and I pray it's changed you too. Let me give you some quotes just to ponder a few more quotes here to ponder the power of the Word of God. Of course, we heard it today from Isaiah 55. Just like the rain and the snow come down and do not return until they've watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful and giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. Now, there is this magnificent quote from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, where it says here, God says to Jeremiah, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and is it not like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? Anyone had a stubborn or a rock-hard heart? God can break it to pieces with the word, soften it, and give us a true heart with which to love. Again, I just read that again. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord. And nothing goes away from fire unchanged. And likewise, is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces. And Jeremiah one day said, But if I were to say, I will not mention God or speak any more his name, his word is in my heart, it is like a fire that is shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. St. Paul said, because we believe, we speak. The word comes and it takes root in our heart, and it becomes like a fire in our bones, and we have to speak it, and we have to preach it. The apostles were told one day, don't talk about that Jesus anymore. He said, we cannot but help speak what we have seen and heard from him. And so it is, this word begins to enter into our hearts. See. Or again, the book of Amos says of God's word, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken, who cannot but prophesy? And prophesy he did. Or again, Jeremiah also cried out, my heart pounds within me. I cannot keep silent. I have heard the sound of the trumpet, and I have heard the battle cry. Again, the power of the word of God, if you will let it touch you, to summon you to battle, to be like fire, speaking, courageously speaking to others. Oh, yes. And so it is that through all the preachers, God continues to speak. And not just preachers in a pulpit like this, but preachers like you, speaking to your children, teaching, talking to your siblings, preaching, teaching. Again, the power of the Word of God to utterly transform us. And so it is that there are these great, great promises of the Word of God in our life. And yet, the Lord also speaks to us of the fact that as powerful as God's word is, God will not force us to do anything. And the powerful utterance of God or of a preacher or someone who reaches you can fall lifeless to the ground if you're not open to receive this word. So the Lord would speak to us today also of what limits the word of God in our life. And he gives this beautiful parable of the sower and the seed, and we'll look at a few of these details, but I would simply say to you and to me that basically what it comes down to is that we are too stubborn and distracted at times for the word of God to have the effect it should. Stubborn, stiff-necked, and awfully distracted. We have other priorities. Now you see, we find time for everything else except to read and pray and study God's word. We find time, I tell you, for everything else. And so it is that there are many, many obstacles that the Lord speaks to us about today. Let's just look at a few of the things that he says. And you know, it's a pretty discouraging picture that he paints. It's an interesting thing, you know, the disciples said to him one in the gospel today, well, why do you speak to them in parables? You know, you and I think of a parable as a kind of an informative story, a story that teaches effectively. But that's because we've been pondering these parables for centuries. But to the first people who heard them, they were often more in the form of a riddle. What does he mean by that? You know? And even the apostles, they say, tell us this parable of the seed. What do you mean, you know, this guy goes out to sow seeds and the birds of the air take some of it and thorns choke some of it and some of it gets, some of it just falls on hard ground and then some of it yields abundant fruit. What are you talking about? See, we miss the riddle-like quality of the parables because we're too familiar with them. I'm going to give you a parable that you've not heard, or maybe I've mentioned it to you before, but you've probably forgotten it. You haven't heard it because I'm kind of making it up. I'll just make up one. Let's say, so there was a man who went out to wash his car, and he brought with him a bucket and a sponge and some soap and water, and he went to work. And some of this dirt came off immediately, and some of the dirt came off only after scrubbing, and some of the dirt didn't come off at all. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Bye. Now, you see, there's a kind of a riddle. You sort of get it, but tell me more. I mean, what are you getting at? I mean, how does this apply in my life? And the Lord spoke to the crowds this way. And so you might say, well, why does he? And the Lord says, you know, I've got to speak to them that way. Because, frankly, their hearts are hard. and they're impenitent. Here's what the Lord says. They look, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't listen. Gross is their heart. In other words, heavy and hard. They will hardly listen with their ears. They've closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, or hear with their ears, or understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I would heal them. Did you hear that? I would heal them if only they would listen. If only they'd open their eyes. If only they would listen to me. I could go to work in their life, but they will not. Hard hearts, stubborn, impenitent. He's talking about us, y'all. And so we have to often look in our own life. How is that true of me? Can we not be stubborn, impenitent? Can we not be avoidant of God? We're not listening. We hear, but we don't really listen. He's talking about us. One day, God said through Jeremiah the prophet, listen, I'm sending you to these people, but I want you to know something about them, Jeremiah. They have foreheads of brass and necks of iron. Nothing gets through their thick skulls. That's what he's talking about. And again, you say, talk about yourself, preacher. All right, all right. You know, I'm using the collective us. I hope it's not true of everybody equally in this church today. But we know how we can be, and we know how human beings can be. Stubborn. Listen again to what the Lord says. If only they would open their eyes and look! If only they would open their ears and listen, I could heal them. But we will not. So the first thing that the Lord says is when his word doesn't have a power in our life is because, frankly, we're just not open to it. We're not receptive. We're not saying, all right, Lord, speak. I'm really listening, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And I'm going to set my eyes down in your word now, and I am going to listen carefully and look carefully to what you're teaching me. But too often we're like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm, okay, yeah, that one, okay. And we close the book, and we think we read God's word. We're frankly not even doing it at all. So it is that the first thing the Lord says is one of the reasons that his word has no effect in our life is that, frankly, we don't have any receptivity to it. We're just not interested. We will not be told what to do. I will not be told what to do. No one's going to tell me anything. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. No one will tell me what to do. I will decide what I want to do, and I will decide whether it's right or wrong. And that's that hard, stubborn, impenitent heart that the Lord is speaking about. If only you'd open your eyes, open your ears, and listen and look. I could heal you, but you will not. Now, there's also a problem of not being very reflective. The Lord says, the seed that falls on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom, but without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. Now, the reason I call this no reflection, we see that, first of all, there's no receptivity, and then there's no reflection. One of the biggest issues that we face in the modern age because of our very hurried, busy lives today is that we don't live reflective lives. We're running, 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 doing, and we never stop and think, all right, where am I going with my life? What are my decisions amounting to? Frankly, who am I? Running, running, and we live very unreflective lives. All the ancient Greek philosophers had this expression. They said that the unreflective life is not worth living. What makes our life revelation is that we sit down and we say, Lord, you've been speaking to me not just in your word, but you've been speaking to me in the events of my day. You're speaking to me in the people I've met today. You're speaking to me in the magnificence of your creation. Now I got to sit down and say, what were you saying to me? And reflect and start connecting the dots. And seeing how you're speaking to me in your word, in the events of my day, in your creation, in my body. Oh Lord, you've been speaking to me all day. Have I been listening? Running, 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 never taking a minute to just sit down and say, all right, Lord, I'm listening. What have you been saying to me? And so you see, living unreflective lives is one of the things that limits the power of God's word. We can hear a word, it goes in one ear and out the other. Isn't it awful? I mean, we're so well fed that we can't even remember what we had for dinner yesterday. That is very unreflective. There are people who would eat what we eat and they remember it for weeks because they don't live so well. We, with our endless distractions and so on, running here, running there, living unreflective lives. So the Lord is basically saying, would you please slow down for a minute? Stop. Silence yourself. Sit with me. And listen to what I'm trying to teach you in my creation, in your life, in what your decisions are amounting to. Answer some questions for me, says the Lord. Where are you going with your decisions? Are you just padding up your career and your bank account? Or are you preparing for heaven? What is the real goal of your life? What is your destiny? Can you even tell me what your goal in life is? I want to die loving God and neighbor so I can be with God forever. Are you that clear on it? Am I? But we're running, running, running. An old African proverb says, if I don't know who I am, anybody can name me. And most of us, because we live unreflective lives, too easily don't know who we are. We're being identified and defined by everybody else. Oh, you're this, you're that. And so it is that, you see, the Lord is saying, would you please slow down, be quiet for a moment. Every day, spend some quiet time reflecting with me. Spend it with my word, but also reflect on what your life is amounting to. Live a reflective life. So we see that the first reason that the word of God doesn't bear fruit according to Jesus is there's just frankly no reception of it at all. I will not be told what to do. Obstinate, hard hearts. But even for those who want this word, too often they're living unreflective lives, rushed, hurried. If they look at the word at all, it's a quick glance. They reflect very little on it, and they're not listening, really listening to me. Now, another thing is that the not only is there sometimes no reflection and no receptivity, there's no roots. The Lord says, the seed sown on the rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but it has no root. It lasts only for a time. If there's any tribulation or persecution that becomes from the word, he immediately falls away. Now, there's an old spiritual line from the spirituals that's pretty common. It says that some go to church for to sing and shout. Before 6 months, they's all turned out. You know? In other words, they might get into the word for a minute, but too quickly they depart. Now, notice the Lord says, if any persecution comes or a trial on account of the word, because it has no roots, it gets taken away. Now, what tribulations and persecutions? Most of us aren't getting thrown into jail. Most of us aren't, you know, getting killed for this word. But I will say that the kinds of tribulations and persecutions that we face are sometimes, again, there are many teachings today of the church and of the scriptures that are, quote, unpopular today, especially related to sexuality, life issues. You know, I was standing out in front of the abortion clinic yesterday, and people were just holding a sign saying, equal rights for all, born and preborn. And people were going by, you know, give me the finger, or rolling their eyes, you know. But again, somewhere we have to learn that people are going to raise eyebrows at us. They're not always going to agree. And we still have to speak a word to a world that's gotten so dark and so hardened in their hearts that they think it's all right to kill children in a mother's womb. We have to be willing to endure that persecution, but many are not. It could be something big like that. It could just be you're a mother or a father and you're trying to help your kid to walk in the way and they just roll their eyes and say, oh, Ma, oh, Dad. Little trials, little persecutions. And so we just give up. We stop preaching the word. We stop really listening. But then the worst one of all is just when we encounter a word that says, you know, you got to change the way you think about something. And we feel persecuted. And the word is a trial for us. You know, it says here, oh my gosh, you know, I have to be willing to take up a cross. Huh. I have to be more generous, less greedy. That's pretty challenging. I don't know. Let's close the book now. Let's see what's on TV tonight. See what happens to us? Oh, I gotta stop fornicating. I gotta stop looking at that stuff on the internet. Oh man, that's hard. Ugh. No roots. The word just goes away. No roots. See, any persecution, any challenge, any trial that comes, skip it. Close the book. Let's see what's on TV tonight. You see the vision? Brothers and sisters, we have to be willing to accept the fact that the Word of God is going to challenge us. It's going to challenge a lot of cherished notions out there today, that many mistaken notions, and some of them, it's going to challenge some of our favorite sins. Anyone have a favorite sin? Got a few of them there, Father. It's going to go to work. It's going to challenge us. And so again, you see, but the Lord says that there are many people, as soon as they meet the challenge, they just skip it. And the word just gets pulled right out, or they close the book and they're off to something else. They will not really listen to me. Now, again, there's a promise that comes. You know, if you are struggling with anything in life, be it greed or sexual issues, or whether you're struggling with the pain, say, of a past abortion or whatever, you enter into this pain a little bit with the Lord and let him go to work. And some of the greatest healing in life comes when we confront those drives or the sorrow or the regret from our past or whatever it is. I mean, you talk to anybody that goes to an AA meeting, you know, they finally confronted the fact, I'm drinking too much and I got to cut it out. And it was hard, but this has brought them such life and community. There's so much joy in those AA meetings, people celebrating sobriety. But they had to hear first a word that says, get sober. Your life is out of control. Your life's become unmanageable, and you are powerless over that in your life. And they heard it, and they were sad, and they avoided it. But when they finally laid hold of it, and suddenly life, and you walk past any of those 12-step meetings that go on in this church basement or any other place, you're going to hear a lot of joy, a lot of laughter, and yeah, some tears too. But when they finally confronted it, I'm reading a book right now from a man who was in the gay lifestyle. He finally heard the word to come out, and he has a joy now and a freedom. There's so many things which, again, at first confront us, but when we lay hold of them and say, the Lord's got a word to heal me, not to harm me. His word is not meant to harm me. It's meant to heal me. Or someone will be confronted with the fact that your anger is out of control and you've got to lay hold of it. And they finally go and they find out some of the traumas and the hurts that are underneath all that anger. And the Lord goes to work and they get freed. Do you see what the Word of God can do? Yes, it will at times confront us with sinful drives that we all have. But in the end, if we will confront them and hear what the Lord is saying, that is not the way. You can't walk that way. You've got to live more chastely. You've got to learn to be more generous. You've got to let go of that anger. We first don't like to hear it. And if we're not careful, we just close the book and say, I'm not listening to that anymore. And then we just get worse. But if we hear it, the Lord says, I can go to work now and really bring you healing in your life. So again, we see that this Word of God is powerful, but for it to have its effect, we have to be receptive. We have to, if you will, allow it to, we have to be reflective. We have to reflect in our life, and we have to allow the Word of God to take some root. But if there's any trial or persecution, we got to stay rooted in the Word. Go through the trial, experience the trouble, experience the trials, but let that word take deep root and start to bear abundant fruit. And then we start to see that, again, if there's a problem, he says here, of riches and worldly anxieties that choke off the word. Now here too, brothers and sisters, we've got to watch less TV, read less news than a lot of us do. Worldly anxieties and all sorts of things can quickly choke off the Word in our life. The world and its ways and its things have too much influence in our life. Now, you keep up with the news, and some of you, that's your job. All right. Do what you got to do, but get away from it as much as you can. There is more to life than what you see on television. There is more to life than what you read in the paper. And you be careful, because that stuff begins to choke off the Word. Because we become far too influenced by it. Again, we find time for everything else. We'll read the paper, we'll watch the news, watch. Go to all the movies, listen to all the music, be all up to date on all the things of the world, and we can barely find the Bible to open it. You see what I'm saying? Too many people have the Word of God on trial by the standards of the world, when what you should have on trial is the world by this standard. Most people have it completely backwards. Well, that sounds crazy. I mean, we're supposed to be tolerant and we're supposed to be all these things. And then I hear this thing in the Bible. What's wrong with the Bible? Is the church out of date? Is the Bible out of date? And people talk like that. The world is on trial, y'all. The Lord said the Holy Spirit will come to you and He will convict the world. He will convict the world. Has the world been convicted in your eyes? Not everything that is right is popular, and not everything that is popular is right. You be very, very careful. But we allow worldly visions, worldly thinking to choke off the Word of God. We are more passionate about our political views than our faith. We are more passionate about our worldly views or what some musician has said or sung in some secular song than we are about the Word of God. And that chokes off the Word. That's what the Lord is teaching us today. So I would simply say to you, this has been some rough sledding, but it's a tough gospel. And the Lord is teaching us that there are some important things to look at in our life that's limiting the power of the Word of God to utterly transform our lives. But I want to return to where I began, because I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, the Word of God has changed my life. I'm more hopeful. I'm more positive. I have a clearer sense of where I'm going in my life. I have a clearer moral vision, right and wrong. I also have more joy, more confidence, more hope, and my heart and my mind are more lit up, waiting for the joy and the magnificence and the beauty of heaven. You know, there are just so many gifts that can come from the Word of God if we'll stay with it. For example, one of the things that I think we need today is a good understanding of suffering and its role in our life. We live in a world that often sees suffering as meaningless. But suffering isn't meaningless. How can we walk into a church every Sunday and see Jesus on the cross and say suffering is meaningless? And then we'll do almost anything to avoid it. So that when we don't look for suffering, but when it comes, I understand it now. I see that it has a role in my life, and that I gain wisdom from it and detachment, and I long for heaven more. I see what you're doing, Lord, that you're purifying me. What a beautiful gift. Many people just are despairing of the suffering they go through. They see it as meaningless. But the Lord gives us a very beautiful picture here. The Lord also gives an incredible and a beautiful moral vision of the human person, the transformed human person. It is possible. Too many in the world today despair that people can live chastely, that people can live with less, that holy simplicity is even possible. They have no sense that they can let go of their anger or be free. But the Lord is saying, oh, yes, you can. I'm holding up this moral vision not to harm you, but to heal you so that you can see that the transformed human person loves God with all their heart and has that priority and loves their neighbor, respects and loves their parents. They get married and they stay married and they love their children and they raise them up in holy fear and they reverence and care for the poor and they are generous and kind and forgiving and merciful and just. Oh, that's impossible. That's what the world says. That's just impossible. The Lord says, I can change your life. So He gives us hope a theology of suffering. He points to heaven and says, listen, all these are things, just trinkets down here. I got something better for you. Isn't that nice to know? And if you will start to live this way and move with me, says the Lord, you're going to have a joy, a hope, a confidence, and a trust. And with every birthday, you won't say, oh, I'm getting older. You'll say, wow, I'm getting older, getting closer to the finish line. I can't wait to go home and see God. Oh, I'm getting older, you know. I'm excited to get older. Thank you, Jesus. I'll stay here as long as you need, but Lord, not 1 second longer. I'm coming home soon. So you see the vision. But you see how the Word of God can go to work in our life? I want to just thank the Lord for His Word. He's been good to me. He spoke the truth to me, and sometimes the truth hurts. But you stay with that hurt a little bit, and you start to feel the healing. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank God for His Word. Because of His Word, I see more clearly. I love more. I'm more excited than ever before about the truth of God's Word. So thank the Lord in your own way for the great gift of God's Word. And expect this, though. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. He does need to go to work in our life, and we're going to put up some resistance. But if we don't, and we let Him do the work He needs to do, even if His Word hurts sometimes and challenges us, I promise you, His Word brings healing. His Word brings light out of darkness, healing, not harm. God's Word is great. It is glorious. It is wonderful. It can even break our stubborn, hard hearts. So thanks be to God for His Word today. Are you grateful for His Word? I said, I don't know if you're grateful for God's Word. Now, you might not want to applaud this one, but are you challenged by God's Word? But if you stayed with the challenge, have you been blessed? Yes. Order my steps, Lord. Order my steps in Your Word. Lead me, guide me every day. Send Your anointing. Father, I pray. Order my steps in Your Word. And if I'm stubborn, stay with me, Lord. Drag me if You have to. But order my steps in Your Word. Amen.